Sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell,
brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We are rocking and rolling at Hooters in Buford, Mall of Georgia location. Thanks for coming out, hanging out with your boys. It's good to see our friend Alex here today. Thank you, sir. We appreciate you coming out.
Alex, who had nothing to do with the flight disruptions.
Don't even bring it up. Don't even bring it up.
Not his department.
Don't even bring it up. Hey, when we signed Kirk Cousins in March, today was the first day of camp, and it all went down, and I said, what if I told you this deal is done? And it was that day. The next thing I asked you guys was, what if he doesn't play in preseason? We don't get a chance to see him. April came, we focused on the draft. We draft Michael Penix Jr., amongst other guys. But obviously that was the big one in the first round. Now we're at camp, training camp, and everybody is just assuming that they were prophets in saying, well, Kurt was not going to play. We hadn't heard that from the coach, and we certainly had not heard it from the player until today. The irony is, Mike, as we started camp this morning and Raheem addressed the media, a large conglomerate, by
biggest,
the way.
Biggest crowd we've had in the media center in arguably the last 7 or 8 years.
Easy. Ross said today, we're going to take this pretty much week by week. And we're going to build towards, you know, obviously getting ready for the preseason and the season. So we took that as maybe there's a chance. And I think it was even you who asked the question.
Right.
So we leave that session. We go out to practice. Things are happening. We're seeing who's on the field. And then after practice, I want to play it again. Big O, Kirk Cousins, does his media session. And he is asked about playing in the preseason. And we do get clarity.
I want to play, but I think that ask fell on deaf ears. I think, you know, Raheem's model is you're not playing. Like, that's just not – and I don't know if I'm letting the cat out of the bag or anything, but his approach was like, that's just not how we want to do things. I'm sure maybe I could persuade him. Maybe there's a conversation. Who knows how the Dolphins practices go. Maybe he wants to see us in the game. It's just so much that can change. But, yeah, I think seeing live bullets and playing is helpful, but I also understand the logic behind not doing it. And you know, everything we do is calculated, and that will be as well.
A lot of quarterbacks, you've heard Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers say it, you want to take, you know, quote, a few bumps. And not that drug reference, but the idea that you want to get hit and obviously take some contact and be able to, you know that you're ready to roll and get in game shape. But in the case of Kirk Cousins coming off an Achilles 8 weeks after Aaron Rodgers had his, I think we'd all understand it. That's why I said to you the other day, I said, I don't think we're going to see this guy in the preseason. And then the fans, regardless of what the Falcons' intentions are, Carl, and the fans won't get to see these scrimmages like in Miami or if they do one with Baltimore, but you will see Michael Penix Jr. out there. And if Michael Penix Jr. hits the ground running, we were talking with Dave Archer today, and Arch says, look, like any other rookie, they're going to spoon feed him the stuff, and he looks great, and he has that you can't coach, but there will be some things he'll see, maybe not in preseason, which he never saw in college because of the speed, the scheme, all the things you can do at the pro level you don't have in college. You saw, look what happened to Michael Penix in the Michigan game, in the national championship. They made him look like the quarterback he had never looked like in the last 2 years of Washington.
Well,
so there'll be other teams trying to do some of that. Point I'm getting to is I want to get as many of the bugs out as he can. I want to see as much Michael Penix this preseason as possible.
I totally agree, Mike. And by the way, the Michigan Wolverines last year ran the Ravens defense, okay, for those of you who don't know. That's why all those fronts and what they were doing up front was tricky for everybody. It's one of the reasons why they were so good defensively. With that said,
and why that coach is now in Seattle as the head coach.
Well, yeah. He was in with the Ravens as the DC. The defensive coordinator for the Michigan Wolverines, I think, is now back with the Ravens. Either way, Mike, Penix is going to split second team reps. I just want you guys to understand, because he's not playing in the preseason doesn't mean that he doesn't have first team reps. So what I'm telling you is if you are to see practices Mike and I do, you're still seeing Kirk Cousins with the first team because you still have to prepare him for the season. Preseason games are going to be different, and maybe those practices with Miami are going to be different. But Penix, according to Coach, is going to split reps with the second team. And the kid Paddocks, Mike?
It's a body. That's another
body. He's going to be taking third team snaps.
But again, guys, and we said this earlier, no disrespects. I know he's got some relatives and fans up in this neck of the woods. We had high hopes for Heinicke, and when he came in for Ritter, nothing really improved. Whether that's on Arthur Smith, I don't know. But I've seen what Heinicke's about. I've seen the ceiling. I think I speak for all the fans out there. We want to see Michael Penix Jr. as much as possible. Let him sponge up everything he can, as much of the challenge that preseason may be for him.
Totally agree.
And then, you know, and then if Cousins, heaven forbid, there is a snafu and the Achilles isn't 100%, then you got a guy who's hopefully going to be ready. You know where I stand on this. I wanted Penix to just go with Penix, but Kirk Cousins is here. Guys are excited about him, but we're still going to maybe have to wait to see this guy.
Yeah.
And he basically spilled the beans after the coach said cryptically, we're going to spoon feed it, and we'll go by benchmarks, and eventually he'll get out there. And then he said, no, I'm not playing.
And by the way, I was fine with it either way. Like, even if they were going to, like, you know, drag us along and kind of play this, you know, slow roll it. Mm. But the fact that we now know, Kirk's like, yeah, I've been told I'm not playing. Okay. Well, now we can turn the page and say, cool, let's get Michael Penix ready and keep it moving. 404-726-0929. That news coming out of camp today, and I think it was significant only because it's the one thing we've all kind of wondered about. Mm. And again, I don't deal for me, guys. I want to hear it from the horse's mouth. We can tell you our opinions. We can give you everything we have as far as knowledge of a situation. But until I hear, like I did today, Kirk Cousins, I'm not playing. Then it matters. We can speculate all we want, and we all have thoughts about whether he was going to play or not. I just don't think, Mike, it's a big enough deal that it's going to affect the season, because I want to believe, and I hope I'm right about this. You were right about Desmond Ridder not playing enough. I hope I'm right that this doesn't matter when the season starts. He's able to jump in there and make plays.
Now, again, until he takes some contact, and that's the thing, wearing that red no-contact jersey when they play the Dolphins and they scrimmage the Dolphins, you know, that there'll be some game-type situations, and the coach is a controlled environment. But at some point, you know, Cousins got to get out there under center, and he's going to take some hits. You know, we're hoping we're going to do a hell of a job protecting this guy. We like our offensive line. Talking about it with Mike Johnson from the morning shift today about it. He thinks he feels pretty good about it. We were asking about, real quick sidebar, we're talking about like the center of the line.
Yeah.
He thinks that, you know, they're doing a decent job enough. I asked him, you know, we talked about, you know, what's this? If we start pulling the guards, right, a little more zone, the outside zone offense.
Mike was talking about that. Yeah.
I just wonder, and he's wondering, is Lindstrom equipped to do that? Lindstrom is really good in more of, you know, what they've been doing the last couple of years. If they change it, it might not be the best fit.
Mike, when we talk about outside zone, again, technicality, guys, you're blocking to a zone, and what this allows – yes, but what it allows the running back to do is have cutback lanes. If you're pulling guards and pulling tackles, that's a different deal. That's like the old Green Bay Packer. We're going to power sweep, and we're going to create this lane. That's a different kind of run game. I don't know if we're doing that, but if we are, then you're challenging some of these offensive linemen to do some things. Maybe they're not comfortable with.
Right. Meanwhile, this team is just today, by the way, the fans want to be out there. You didn't really miss much, if we're honest. These were like real walkthroughs. So the guys would run out for their formation. Defensive players would cover. You always get contact. Even the guys are just wearing, you know, shells and the big poofy helmet now.
Yeah, protection.
But you could see, you know, the offensive line guys making contact with the D-line. But for the most part, it was just Cousins would, like, you know, mimic like he was throwing to an open receiver. So tomorrow we're going to see some balls in the air. And can't wait to see what Penix looks like throwing to some of these dudes.
All right, coming up in less than 10 minutes, what did Grady Jarrett have to say today? He addressed the media. He is back. How big is him coming back for us, period?
Huge, man. We saw Grady. He spoke about 10, 15 minutes in the media room. I mean, Grady, you know, not. I don't want to put words in Grady's mouth, but you're closer to the end of your career now than you are to the beginning of it. And I think he gets it. Like, man, I want to get back to that Super Bowl. Got unfinished business. And we know he is serious as a heart attack in a good way. He sets the tone for that defense. He's the guy that all the rookies rally around.
No doubt, man. If I'm one of these guys, you know, Trice, any of these guys who drafted, I'm trying to pick this dude's brain.
Right.
You don't
poor fellow Clemson teammate, yeah. Ruka Roho Roho Roho.
Yeah, you don't survive in the NFL 10 years, Mike, as a fifth-round pick and be as good as Grady has been if you're not putting in the work. So it's good to see him back out there. Right now, though, we need to talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Now, we know college football, there's a lot going on in the National Football League, but we're waiting on the dogs to start camp, guys. And one of the things that his teammates are already saying, Mike, is he is legit. And I'm talking about Trevor Etienne.
Yeah, man, this is a guy ready to make some noise for the Georgia Bulldogs. We know that we saw him in Florida. He's made comments about what happened in Florida. He came here to win the cocktail party, to win SECs and national championships. He's got swagger. Yes, he had the unfortunate incident off the field behind the wheel, but that they got adjudicated. They dropped it down. We can all get on with our lives. But the guy, everybody to a man, loves Trevor Etienne.
Yeah, and again, this is Carson Beck. He says, being able to pick him up out of the portal, such a talented running back. Beck said of the guy he'll be handing the ball off to a lot. He says he's someone that's going to make a huge impact. Obviously, you know, we've only been able to see a little bit of him in the spring, but he's like, look, you can see the things. And this is what I always say about, you know, some of these players. Like, to Mike's point, Michael Penix today was the only other field, okay? We're watching Kirk Cousins because we want to see Kirk Cousins. But if Michael Penix is dropping dimes,
right,
word's going to get out. guys on that team are going to be like, man, you seen Penix? Like, it doesn't take long, Mike, to realize right. whether a guy can play. And I've been – over the years, it's amazing to me. It's like, man, we didn't know he was this good. His teammates did. What Georgia's teammates right now, Trevor Etienne, is telling you is – this dude's legit. Like, as much as we saw him in the spring, it doesn't take long for us to realize he's going to make a huge impact for this team.
And I know we've talked about, is it going to be running back by committee? Fans always want to see one guy be that guy, be a Heisman hopeful. But I will say this. Chris brought this up yesterday. Branson Robinson, who's Ooh. Always been a big physical guy size-wise, he's coming to camp literally looking like an X-Man. I mean, this dude looks like freaking Mr. Olympia. If you haven't seen the pictures, huge. Just be Googling Branson Robinson, and there's a shot that everybody's all dog fans go, damn, looks like this dude is seriously come from Krypton. He's ready to do some work, man.
What makes me laugh about these pitches, and I get it, because everything now is for the gram. Who at what point when he was walking off the field dripping sweat was like, that's the shot? You flexed up. Right. You all yoked up. You're sweating. That's the shot. Let's get that shot right there.
Did he have an oil man? Was Zion Williams in that shot?
That's the thing, Mike. It's like you see this photo and you're like, who took that? Like, hold on. That's the perfect shot. Let me get that.
It's almost like, you know, Andy Leibovitz shot it because there's the way the light, the afternoon sun, everything is perfect. This guy literally it almost looks like a promotional photo for Gladiator 2.
Yes.
You know what I mean? By the way, not entertained.
Have you seen the previews for that?
You know what? I don't want to like it, but I want to go see it. I mean, I thought the Gladiator story was perfect.
I did
how
too.
You pick it up.
I do too.
Where you move the storyline. Is it a century later? Is it whatever it's going to be? Can't wait to see it. There's the shot. I mean, the dude
come
literally.
On, come on, looks, our audience right here. This is what we're talking about.
That's Branson Robinson, Georgia running back. Looks like Lee Haney.
Who said, stop right there. That's the shot. This dude is dripping sweat. He looks like a beast.
Right. I mean, maybe D-Led took that shot. I couldn't get any pictures of his feet, though. I don't really like pictures of men's nipples, but that's me. I'm more of a foot man. Hey, one more Georgia note for you. Kirby Smart raised a few eyebrows. I didn't think he was being a wise ass, saying about, man, when it comes to NIL, I sure wish I had that Dan Lanning Nike money, basically. Because if you don't know the story, Dan Lanning has got resources that even though Georgia and everybody else is maximizing with their, you know, their groups, their consortiums, to get money from their alumni and let's go. But the NIL from Phil Knight and Nike, nobody can match that. Kirby said that, man, I've had the pleasure of meeting Phil Knight and his wonderful wife. I wish I could get some of that NIL money they're sharing with Dan Lanning. But that's another note. So Kirby plants a seed, much like his mentor.
He did.
Right?
Nick Saban. Nick Saban, yeah.
A not-so-subtle reference. Well, Dan Lanning goes on Pat McAfee's show and says, I think it's impressive guys like Kirby have been signing the number one class in the nation without any NIL money this entire time. He joked. Obviously, Coach Smart took a little shot at us, but if you want to be top 10 in college football, you got to have great support. Bottom line is, Oregon's got it. And Phil Knight wants to win in the worst way in this first year in the Big Ten.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was just looking up. I wanted to see. So Michael Jordan's brand with Nike, Mike, does about $7 billion a year.
Mm.
Worldwide.
Oofa.
That's just the Jordan brand.
Right.
That's not Nike.
Right.
All right.
The only thing. Hey, by the way, look, guys, once again, guys, let's have a nice round of boos. Everybody boo. It is Jerome.
Boo.
Yeah.
Give it to him.
He went viral, man. By the way, no joke real quick. I'm not saying that Jerome is unhinged, but when he saw where Carl and I were parked, he says, you know, I'm trending on Twitter now since Bell posted that video. I'm going to park my car next to the media guys.
He did. He moved his car and backed it in next to us. He said, VIP. That's how Jerome is.
By the way, Jerome, it is 2024. Let's drop the curb feelers.
Let's hear from Grady Jarrett when we come back. We're live at Hooters having a good time, man. Come on out and hang out with us. Day one of camp in the books. A lot went down. What did Grady have to say about his return? You'll hear it next.
This is Jim Rome.
All right, Mike. Before we get to what Grady had to say, we saw our buddy AJ Terrell today. Here's what you need to know. He is fully participating at practice.
Yep.
Now, you may say, well, why wouldn't he be? Because it's a contract year.
A lot of other guys are sitting out right now. Either they're quiet quitting, Carl, or they're sitting in as opposed to sitting out. But, yeah, but he's all in, man. He's all go.
He said that's the beauty. Like right now I'm just focused on, you know, being with the team and being involved. AJ is engaged. He's set to play on his $12.3 million fifth-year option this season. But, Mike, he did admit, I'm just playing my role. But if you don't think he realized what just happened with Tyson Campbell – okay, who just got the latest big deal
about
as 19, a corner.
About $19 million a year. We looked at the numbers yesterday for Jacksonville.
He agreed to a four-year, and this is what I said about AJ. I said 4 years, 70 to 80, right, not 90 to 100, million-dollar deal. This is kind of where I think he is. $53 million of the deal is guaranteed. But to Mike's point, the per-year average is 19 per. This is what the Falcons are contemplating. And apparently, his agent and the Falcons are talking. We could hear them get a deal done, Mike, before we get off the air. Maybe this later this week or maybe early next week.
Yeah, I asked you yesterday. I said maybe this is one that will happen right about now. I mean, again, there's no correlation from what's happened in the past. I mean, a different general manager. We talked about, you know, the Desmond Trufant thing that year that he got the deal. And I think A.J. Terrell, if he, for instance, if we sign him, and then he goes off and has like a six-interception year because they finally have the right scheme and they're ball-hawking and they've got a kind of a zone system which allows him to maybe get his hands on the picks we've all been waiting for. Okay. I mean, betting on the come. But right now, though, I think Chris and I were talking the other day. I'd say, you know, if you want to do this, if this is strictly EA Sports and you're doing Madden, I'd say you're worth about 17.5. But that's not the way it works. It's not going to reset the market, but I think you're right about the numbers. Right, just under 20.
Yeah, it's Mike, it's going to be interesting to see where this comes in. But, guys, that's out there, but it's not affecting the team because he's there and he's participating. All right, let's hear from Grady Jarrett. You guys know he went down last year, integral part of the makeup and the culture of this team. Raheem Morris talked about him today as well. So Grady talking about what it means to him to have coaches say that he represents the franchise.
That mean the world to me. That mean the world to me. That's something that's definitely earned. But to be acknowledged from my coach, from my leader, man, it means a lot. And just made me want to go harder. You know, made me want to go harder. Every day I know that my best is required. You know, I can't have any off days. And that's how I've been my whole career. So it's nothing new that's being asked of me. It's just be me, you know. Come out, put the work in and day out. You know, lead by example. And be a playmaker. You know, and trust that, you know, being a special player of what God designed you to be, let that shine, you know, and I'm super excited to be in this position. And I know it come with a lot, but, you know, I prepare myself to take on a lot, you know, and so a comment like that definitely means a lot, and I don't take it lightly at all.
Oh, I need you to pull for me where Grady says, makes me want to go harder. Because I hope that's what we're talking about through the course of the season. As this thing builds and we start to collect wins, Mike, we got to go harder. We're going to have to go harder week in and week out. Grady talking about how he thinks about the achievements and what he thinks about them.
First and foremost, before you do any of the work, you got to believe in yourself, you know, wholeheartedly. Because to chase a dream to make it come true is going to be a lot of obstacles, you know, whether that's from another person, whether from circumstances that you're from, and it's going to be a lot of more no's than it is yes. But to achieve a dream, you can have 1,000 no's, but all it takes is one yes. But when that yes comes, you need to be prepared, because some people get discouraged early if they get a no, and that might be prepared for that time when it's time to have a yes. If you miss the opportunity, it might not come back ever again. So just you got to have that self-belief and knowing that your time going to come. Even if it don't come when you think it's going to come, you got to be ready for when it do. Because if you give up too early, you could be just about to strike gold and turn back the other way. You know, so just self-belief, hard work, perseverance, and nothing worth having comes overnight. And the harder that you fight for it, the harder that it's going to be for somebody to let it go. You get something too easy, too early, you won't fight for it. It's hard to keep it. So the hard work, don't go unnoticed, you know, and you just got to trust the process. But also you got to push through. You know, it ain't going to be easy. You got to go above and beyond, take the other steps that others aren't willing to take to be able to achieve a dream. Because no matter what industry you're in, nobody chasing somebody else. You always got competition. Somebody else coming, you got to want it more. And that's just the life that we live, the world that we live in, and that's good, you know. And that's going to bring out the ones who really, really want it. And, you know, companies, teams, people hiring, going to see that, you know, in people that they want to, whether that's elevate their business or somebody who want to start their own business, you know. And you got to be willing to, if you want to run the business, you got to be willing to do the job of whoever the quote-unquote lowest ranked person at the building willing to do. You got to be willing to do that 1,000 times over. You know what I'm saying? You can't expect anybody to do anything that you're not willing to do, you know. So, no, you can't be too good for anything. Entitlement, nothing. Like, everything earned, hard work every day, and you just got to grind it out and believe in yourself.
You know, you and I have talked a lot, Carl, the last year or two, basically since COVID, you know, about trying to get people to work, whether it's younger people or just folks. And we talked about quiet quitting, folks in the restaurant business. Talk about folks that can't find people that want to put the work in. Mm. Some guy spends one day waiting tables, thinks he's going to be the manager of the restaurant the next day. I'd like to get what Grady just said, put that on the wall of every high school in America, man, because that's it. That's what we were taught as kids, and Grady's he's giving it to you. Nothing comes easy. You put the work in. Don't quit. You know, don't be a candy ass, basically, and you will eventually find something that's it's worthwhile, and you'll get rewarded for it.
Yeah, it's a great thought process.
Right. That's why we love this guy.
Yeah, man, as he's talking about achievements and, you know, what he's been able to accomplish. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. One other thing with Grady today, and we heard from a variety of guys. We'll let you hear more of Kirk Cousins in the 5 o'clock hour and some things we witnessed at practice today. But Grady was talking about the experience, you know, returning from the injury. Listen, there's nothing more humbling for a professional athlete than to be injured and to be on the top of your game and then to come back. Mm. Because everybody goes, is he going to be the same?
Is he going to lose his step?
Yeah, we're saying this about Ronald Acuña right now. I love Ronald Acuña. I don't know after two knee injuries, Mike, if he's going to come back and be the same guy. This is what Grady is challenged with now coming back off this injury.
Yeah, well, it happened, you know, me and Kirk both got hurt the same week last season right before the Falcons played the Vikings. So, I mean, that's kind of, you know what I'm saying? So, we kind of in this thing together. But, I mean, it's a testament to see how far we both come in our career before sustaining a major injury. And also a testament to, you know, at any time, you know, any given play, you know what I'm saying, you never got it all figured out. You know, being a pro for so long, you know, Kurt, myself, we know how to take care of our body. We know how to train. That just means that, you know, nobody is immune to, you know, what's uncontrollable. And it's about how you respond, you know, and I think that's what we're doing, setting an example for. And I think, you know, going through the season, it'll just show and inspire guys who go through it, whether it's early or late in the career, that it don't matter what point in your career that you go through something major like this, you can bounce back from it. You know what I'm saying? You know, me and Kirk are both in positions to where, you know, something like that happened, a guy in our point of our career, they might be thinking like, man, is it even worth fighting back? Is it doing this? But it's like, it's a whole nother fire that I see in him, a whole nother fire that I feel in myself, that you never satisfy. You always want to get better and get back, you know, and compete at the highest level for a world championship. And I think that's what's both getting us back going, and I'm happy to have him here. And it's just funny how life and fate worked out that, you know, we both got hurt same week right before we about to play each other, and then to have him here on the team now and to lead us going into the season, I mean, it means a lot. And I couldn't think of a better guy, you know, to have in that position. I'm excited to see his comeback, and I'm excited to see my comeback, and hopefully it inspires a lot of people.
I hope so. I hope that both comebacks help us not only reach the playoffs, Mike, but make a big run towards a Super Bowl. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Hooters, guys, talking about what we saw and what we learned today from the Falcons. By the way, really the first time we've heard from Grady. He's been at OTAs and minicamp, but he was limited. Him and Kurt both were limited. So we didn't see a lot of them, and we certainly didn't hear a lot of Grady because he was doing all the rehab stuff. So first time we really got a chance to talk to him today.
Yeah, Grady, I mean, as we said, today was just kind of a glorified walkthrough. We were kind of joking because Grady's the kind of guy I think his game would have translated to the stuff we saw back in the 90s when Carl and I were lucky enough to be at our first camps. But yeah, compared to those 2-a-days and guys putting on full pads and getting after. Carl, remember full pads and then the offensive line would go hit the sleds? I mean, this literally was like, you know, Pop Warner practice today. But tomorrow, we're going to see some footballs being thrown. Michael Penix, by the way, again, he's throwing against air, so you can't quantify it. But he does throw a beautiful pass, man.
He does.
We had a chance to see a little bit of that at minicamp, but today he looks great.
All right, guys, we got lots more to get to here. We'll tell you more about what we saw, some news and notes of the day. Also, strong arm story of the day coming up. But, Mike, before we get to all of that, we got some guy talk coming up.
All right, guys, coming up in guy talk, pay attention. We're going to talk about sex. Sexting. Yes, that kind of response. There we go.
One dude was like, yeah!
All right, guys. Sexting dirty messages to women. Does it work? Is it an effective tool for dating? Women actually do dig it. We'll explain.
What?
Don't go Brett Favre. Put some thought into it. Also coming up, what if you're stuck on the International Space Station for like 41 days overdue?
Am I by myself?
Well, you thought folks had a problem at Hartsfield-Jackson. We'll come back and talk about that next. Georgia Hooters. Good times,
Hooters,
man.
Hooters.
Got our Dukes of Bell Hey Man Ale on draft. And we got a bunch of dudes that are trying some. Our boy over there, our guys over there got some. So get it on, man. Try our Dukes of Bell Hey Man Ale. We're going to be up here basically every other day next couple of weeks for Falcons camp. All right, let's focus on the matter at hand, sex. All right, man, we've seen guys try to work their game.
Look at these guys at the bar. They're like,
via the text. What? I know it gets attention.
What?
Women enjoy sexting, a recent study finds. But you got to have some game, like
you
anything
do.
Else. You got to do it right. Women don't want to see an unsolicited picture of your Johnson. They want to have you romance them, Carl. They want to see a little creativity in action.
I agree.
Researchers at the University of Guadalajara in Mexico.
Mexico.
Analyzed the brains of 27 heterosexual women between the ages of 20 and 30. While they read both sexually explicit texts and sexually explicit text with aggression.
Mm.
Well, so one would be called an SET, and then it would be called an SETA.
S-T.
An SET, so you either get a set or a seta.
Okay.
They discovered that racy text evoked a response in the prefrontal and temporal parts of the women's brain, which are responsible for processing emotions. This is perhaps, as a researcher, because unlike men, women often find more humanity in stories or novels. The characters have names. Stories, their own desires. Women want more than just to watch people get it on. They want to understand the buildup of emotions. You see, Carl, this is what I talk about when I watch porn. I want a story.
Yeah.
I'm in touch with my feminine side.
Yeah.
I can't just go right to the sex. I need the setup.
I know.
Why is the woman rubbing the other woman's shoulders?
Wait, did you say the other woman?
Yeah, was it a situation where they were at yoga class?
Yeah.
Were they at spin class?
Yeah.
I need to know the particulars.
I
are they married?
I don't.
Is she divorced? I need that.
I don't. I want to get to the class.
Well, as you stampede right towards the privates, literature provides guidelines that highlight the important relationships developing between participants in a sexual relationship.
Yeah.
Unlike erotic videos, reading allows you to add or remove elements based on your preferences, creating a personalized fantasy. So, guys, put some work into it, and apparently, you know, just be a little creative. Talk about what you do. Like, first, I want to kiss your neck. Then what? And then I want. And then to be a little crazy, sell it a little bit. Just don't go stampeding below the belt line, you Visigoth.
You animal.
You barbarian.
You animal. All right, I get that. I totally vibe with that, and I think they're absolutely right about what they're saying in regards to the approach. By the way, this does not guarantee anything.
No, but I mean, again, even if you're Brett, now granted you're Brett Favre, because we know his rap was basically minus 10. Remember that voicemail when he was trying to hit on that Jets assistant? Hey, it's Brett. I'm over at the hotel by the airport. Why don't you come on over and wear sweats? Like, oh, that's, you're so romantic. So the study says you got to have a little bit more game. Sexting is an act of sexual empowerment because it's part of a sexual communication. Dr. Tara Suma Mamakucho Patacharapan, I'm presuming she's from India, says she's a relationship coach and an educator at Cal State University Fullerton. She told the LA Times, when you engage in healthy sexual communication, you're giving yourself the permission to express your sexual self, and that's great for you and yourself. Esteem.
What did people do? And just think about this for a second. Before cell phones and sexting.
Right.
Seriously. What did you do?
You leave long messages on an answering
machine.
That's
all you did. You couldn't send the picture.
And
you
then
were
I want to
like,
cover you with chocolate syrup. Beep.
And I hope you call me back. I really hope you call me back. You couldn't send the picture. I mean, you think about how
this
it was.
This voice message is now full.
Yes. And then you're like, did you get my voice message?
No. Then all of a sudden you're like, what was his name in Singles?
Oh.
John Favreau. Remember he's trying to leave the perfect voicemail for the girl?
It's so funny. I'm just thinking about that. Like, we take cell phones for granted because that's what we do, and now it's such a integral part of our life.
Back then,
idea, like, for you kids, and like, hey, of course I'm going to send pictures. He couldn't do that.
No, but I mean, it's amazing that we talked about a few years back the Tinder and swiping, right? I mean, basically taking out any kind of game or interaction. Either that's the opposite of this study, where they just look at you, okay, you meet my qualifications for the dude I want to hook up with. Yeah. Let's go.
All
right, buddy. Maybe they're sexting in space. two astronauts stranded at the International Space Station.
James T. Kirk.
49 days. Well, look at Kirk. Now, Kirk was a freak. He'd get on with any green-colored or any kind of alien. That was the thing about Kirk. If Kirk was, I mean, he was advancing the human race with all species.
He was. He had game, though. Kirk had game.
I'm James Tiberius Kirk. Let's get it on.
He had game, bro.
Con, you madman.
I knew Kirk had game when he hooked up with, yes.
First time an interracial kiss ever occurred.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Him and Uhura.
That's it.
Never forgot that. Anyway, back to the space. Two astronauts are standing. They've been stuck there 49 days.
You heard.
41 days longer, Carl, than their planned mission because their Boeing ride is not working. It's full of leaks. And we were kids. We got a lot of guys who work for Delta listening to the show. The old line was, if it ain't Boeing, I ain't going.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, man, this problem they're having with the Boeing, Boeing's got a lot of bad publicity, if we're honest, the last 6 months.
Six?
But full of, just I'm being generous. Sucks if you were an Indonesian pilot that kind of put you, kind of threw you under the bus.
Let's go back about five years.
Put you under the Airbus. In this case, the Boeing-built ride is full of leaks. They're going to spend two more weeks aboard the International Space Station. Butch Wilmer and Suni Williams, they were meant to be up there just 8 days. They took the Boeing Starliner up, but they haven't been able to get them back up. I'm wondering, I'm still waiting why Elon Musk hasn't said, we'll get you a ride for free, or actually charge NASA. That'll be $15 million, whatever it is, to get you back.
So Boeing can't send their rocket back?
They got problems with their rocket, or whatever the thing is. I guess, Carl, speaking of the story earlier, the coupling device, the mating probe, has to insert properly to create a proper seal.
You had to
go
there.
So apparently there's an issue there.
You had to go there.
Once in space, and by the way, the lady, I think she made a bad hair decision. I think that's the one time you want to have the I quit haircut. She's got a crazy long haircut, so this thing is just flying all over the place. I think that's the time to have like the 65-year-old grandma haircut, the bob, you know? Less movement. Because that's got to be a pain in the butt.
Yeah, in space especially.
Flying everywhere, right? Yeah. Hey, man, did you hear the story about what happened with the Argentina-Morocco?
No.
Match. Now, this is part of the Olympics. Now, some of these things and events happen before the actual opening ceremony occurs because they got to squeeze everything in, right, during the Olympic period. But the story goes, the Argentinian Olympic soccer coach tells you the team basically got robbed. Somebody busted into their locker room, stole stuff. Meanwhile, they play Morocco. They think they've got the goal that ties the game. Well, they've got a riot then starts because some of the Moroccan fans started chucking stuff at the Argentinian team. They got to clear out the entire stadium. And while they had nothing else better to do, the VAR official goes, oh, his foot was across the line. They disallow the goal. They tied it. They lose 2-1.
Brutal.
How bad is that?
That's terrible.
Now, this is not the same Argentina team that just won the Copa. In the Olympics, I believe it's under 23 for all the teams.
That's, that's still terrible, Mike. I mean, that's an awful decision.
The coach, they went to training and they robbed us. This is from Mascherano, the coach. He goes, we didn't want to say anything after training. I don't think it helps anything. But obviously, he's a bit disagreeable. These things happen. Yeah, you get ripped off and you guys got to go play. Not cool. Not cool at all.
Not cool.
Yeah. One more nugget for you. The story we were talking about earlier, I think it was, on a Tuesday show, we talked about the water in the Seine being unfit. It still sounds like
they're said it had poop in it.
Well, because there's runoff.
That's what you said.
From sewers, and there's everything from animals and sometimes stuff. Cooties get in to the river. And so do you really want to be swimming? You know, you're swimming down by Notre Dame. You know, and imagine the probably be like, was it, who's that Australian guy that calls too much stuff on NBC? Lee Diffie?
Yes. Yeah.
And now here comes the Australian swimmer. Oh, my gosh, he's got toilet paper around his neck. You know, that's
opening ceremonies Friday, right? Friday?
All right, real quick, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your level of interest in the Olympics? 10 being you're all in.
Five.
I'm the same. Turtle, where do you fall on
this? Five.
Zero? A big zero. Goose
egg.
Yeah, I just, I can't pretend to like sports. I don't even have any interest in the rest of the 4 years in between.
Well, I told you, breakdancing. I'm not watching that.
No. I just want to see it for the goofiness.
I'm not watching that. I did that. I'm not watching that.
Dude, I just can't wait to see some Eastern European guy who looks like Borat try like do his thing. And by the way, they're gonna have like a cardboard floor.
Hey,
guys, by the way, thanks for trying the Hey Man.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate you,
man. Hey,
man,
appreciate
you. But no interest whatsoever?
No, I'll keep up obviously with the highlights, and like if Simone Biles is about to break like a world record, I'll flip it on, but I'm not appointment.
Not even the gymnastics?
No.
Really?
No.
Not even the swimming?
Carl,
not even the water,
water polo.
Not even that,
or the equestrian.
No,
no.
Okay, me neither.
Listen, somewhere Abe Gordon right now is having a panic attack, thinking about not keeping up with every single minute of every event.
But we see how the story we started with, you know, about the sex thing. They take it back. For instance, if there's going to be like two girls, they're on the gymnastics team.
Why do you keep bringing up two girls scenarios?
It's something I enjoy. Anyway, there's your guy talk brought to you by Dukes and Bell. Hey man, help. You know, just something I did.
The earlier you was like, why is she rubbing her shoulder? And then right there, you're like, if it's two girls, I'm like, what is going on?
Oh, Barbara, Tommy is being such a jerk. You're so stressed out. Let me rub your shoulders. See, I gotta give me at least 20 seconds of build up.
Well, I know what you're watching, mister.
Mike's favorite movie is Cruel Intentions.
You're darn right it is.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, again, one of the greatest movies of all time is Wild Things, Carl. How that never won an Oscar, I'll never understand. Hey, man, we'll be at Hooters, guys. We've got more shows, including tomorrow, right back up here. So if you can't make it today, join the party on Friday at Mall of Georgia Hooters. Coming up in the Falcon Report, Carl, I got a pretty good idea what one Atlanta reporter is going to have for the first question.
Well,
for the press conference.
Yeah, because I don't want to say one guy didn't intend to say what he said, but it feels that way. Find out what we're talking about coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.